Well, I'd just like to thank the Reverend Hickerson, even for the opportunity to give a word of testimony tonight, and most of all, thank the Lord that I have a testimony to give. I'd just like to read you a few pieces of scripture. It's in the Gospel of John tonight. And that's John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3, and it's just from verse 16 down to 21. John chapter 3, verse 16 to 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, that there cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I'll just leave those few verses of scripture with you now. Well, I was born into a semi-Christian home where I had a father that was saved and a mother that wasn't, but it was a good home. And they brought me out to Sunday school week by week, and the Sunday school teachers we have, they're very good Sunday school teachers. They never failed in telling me if I need that I had to be saved, never failed in telling me that I was a sinner. And they told me that I was a sinner, that every time I broke the law of God, every time I disobeyed one of his commandments, that I sinned against God. And they told me that because of my sin, that I couldn't get into heaven. But they also told me of Jesus Christ. And they told me that Jesus Christ died and sacrificed his own life, that we as sinners can have forgiveness in his blood, that we can get to heaven. And although they told me that I had a need to be saved, I never felt like I had a need. Although they told me I was a sinner, at that point, I didn't feel like I was a sinner. I didn't feel like there was anything wrong with me. I didn't feel like I had to change. And a real turning point happened in my life when I was about 8 years old. And my mother left my father, and of course that was very hard on him. At that age, I didn't really understand all the things that he was going through then. But it was hard on him. But little did we both know that the Lord would in turn use that to good in both our lives. And it was a few years later that my dad met another woman, Julie, and they got married. And that, of course, brought two new people into my life, a stepbrother and a stepsister, Stephen and Lucy. And, of course, my dad's happier now than he ever was, you know. But little did I know that the Lord was even working, even through them, onto my life as well. Because Stephen, he regularly went to a summer camp that was run through the Independent Methodist Church. And it was run by a group of Christians, and they were all saved, born-again Christians. And I was about 13 at this time, and Stephen had invited me to go this summer. And I was a bit of an awkward child, not going to lie. It wouldn't have been the sort of thing I usually would have went to, was something to be sociable. But I think because Stephen was going to go, I felt that I'd be comfortable enough going, and plus I think this was his last year of being able to go, and it was also my first year, so that kind of encouraged me to go. And I did, and again the Lord blessed that decision. Little did I know that the Lord was already working on my life at this stage. And the way the camp worked, it lasted for a week, and really what we did, we woke up in the mornings, every morning, and we said grace, we would have had our breakfast. Then we would have went out and done games. We maybe would have went go-karting a day, or we maybe played football or went to the beach. And then in the evening, they would have brought us a Bible study. And they would have maybe taken a message from the gospel, and they would have brought it to us as kids, you know. And after that, and then again, we'd maybe played a few more games before we had quiet time. And then we went to bed. And it was really good fun. I really enjoyed it. So that I really enjoyed the people and the friends that I made there. And it was about midway through the week, and I was sitting in the meetings, and it was an American man, Jason, who was preaching, and I can't remember what book of the Bible he was talking from. I honestly can't even really remember what his subject was on, but I can remember he was talking about the gospel and he was talking about Jesus. And I was sitting there in the meeting, just as I was, and then next minute, my heart just dropped as Jason was talking about the Lord Jesus. And a great feeling of realization came upon my heart, and I realized something. I realized I'm a sinner. I realized that I wasn't saved. So, from going to a point where, as I said earlier in Sunday school, I didn't feel like I had a need to be saved, or I didn't feel like there was anything wrong with me, as the Sunday school teachers told me I was a sinner, I didn't feel like I was a sinner. That all changed in that moment. I knew I was a sinner, and I knew I wasn't saved. I knew it was without Jesus Christ. I knew I can't get into heaven. And for the first time in my life, that was burdening my soul, and that really was burdening my soul. I will never forget that feeling as long as I live, and I've never felt a feeling like it before. And what that was, is that was the Lord Jesus Christ touching my heart. That was Him, His Spirit coming upon me and showing me that I was a sinner, showing me that I had a need. And that night, when we went to bed, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to take away my sin and to forgive it from me, and He did. And that was the greatest day of my life. I can say with great confidence, and it'll be the greatest day it ever will be. And at that moment, the guilt I had felt that day and the burden that I had felt for my sin just went away. Didn't feel it anymore. Didn't feel burden for my sin, because the Lord Jesus Christ had taken it away from me. And I knew that, and I had that assurance that I never had before. I was happier, and I felt at peace like I never was before. And the Lord really worked through that week, not just in my heart, but He worked in a lot of people's heart that week. And the Spirit of God just moved, and that was the first time I had ever seen the Spirit of God move. And it was an amazing thing. He moved amongst all the young ones, you know, the group leaders just to let us pick hymns and stuff that we wanted to sing, and their young ones, you know, 13 to 15 year olds, they were shouting over each other, arguing about what hymns and stuff they wanted to sing. There was just a real passion, real desire for God in those meetings that it was like I had never seen before. And even those that weren't saved, and those who were maybe just at the camp because their parents sent them, they didn't really want to be in a religious place, even they were singing their hearts out. And they weren't just singing because they had to sing, and they were singing with passion because the Spirit of God was just moving in those meetings. And it came to the end of the week. It was a Friday night, and instead of the usual Bible study we're going to have that evening, the leader, Wesley, the group leader, he said that he wanted the meeting to just be open to the young people, if they wanted to stand up and give a word of testimony as to how they got saved. And that really troubled my heart. The Lord was really troubling my heart, because He was telling me that I had to stand up and I had to say that I got saved just there midway through the week. But like I said, I'm kind of a shy person, still a shy person, and that was something that would be very hard for me to do. But the Lord was really vexing my heart about it. And it came to that meeting, and the youngsters, they got up and they started giving a word of testimony as to how they got saved. And that was a real privilege to listen to them. As I said, the Spirit of God was just working, and to hear their testimonies was just brilliant. It was a real encouragement onto my heart. And it was coming towards the end of the meeting, and my heart was really, it was really vexed to say, the Lord was really pushing me to stand up and say that how I got saved. And so I did. And I got up and I spoke, and I maybe only spoke for the length of 30 or 40 seconds. And it wasn't very, I can imagine my words, I can't remember exactly what it says, but my words weren't very good. They were mixed up, and I kept on stuttering and stammering and that. But I managed just to get up and say, you know, that the Lord had saved me, that I believe that He brought me out to this camp, somewhere I wouldn't usually want to go, but He got me to go, and He brought me there, and He used that to save my heart and soul. And how did I know that after the meeting had finished, the group leaders had organized a water fight for us, and we were outside, and we were throwing the water balloons and the water pistols, and it was really good fun. And towards the end of it, a man, Fergus, who was one of the leaders there, came up to me, and he put his arm around me, and he says, you know, Johnny, that really opened me up tonight when you gave your testimony. He says, I've been feeling down for a while, but that really opened me up. And I just thought that was an amazing thing, that the Lord would use those stuttering, stammering words of mine to even touch another person's heart, as he had touched mine even through the week. I thought that was just an amazing thing, an incredible thing. And after I got saved and after this camp had finished, the devil came in and he started tempting me. He started really challenging my heart to the point that he had me doubting in my own salvation. And it maybe was only a few months down the line after the camp had ended, and I was at school and that now, and the devil was just really tempting me. He was getting me to look at maybe the other children around me. He was getting them to look at maybe the different talents they had. Maybe they were good at sports, or they were good, they were smart, they were good at singing, or whatever. See, I didn't really have anything that I excelled at. I wasn't very good like academically. I wasn't very good in sports or anything like that. And the devil was trying to use that to tempt me that I had nothing for the Lord, that the Lord wouldn't save me because I'm not worth saving. And for a long time I was believing it. So it was, and it was through verses that we read here tonight, and I'll just go to John 16. Probably the most famous verse in the entire Bible. The first five words, for God so loved the world. And I had more or less forgotten the most basic lesson there is that the Sunday school teachers told me. And that was, you know, Jesus didn't save me for any talent I had. He didn't save me for any sort of good thing in me. He saved me simply because he loved me. He saved me simply because he loved me enough to do it, because he loves a sinner. And I think if that's one thing any Christian's testimony can testify to, it's that. It's the love of God for Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing. And just to say, even in closing, to anyone who maybe isn't saved tonight, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves the sinners. So he does. And maybe you're like me. Maybe you think, you know, Jesus couldn't save you for whatever reason. Maybe you think you're not good enough. Maybe you think you can't be forgiven for the sins that you've done. That's wrong. As it says there, God so loved the world. Jesus didn't die for a certain race of people. He didn't die for rich people. He didn't die for poor people. But he died for the world, that the world could be saved. And I'd just like to leave that message with you in closing. Thank you very much for listening anyway. Thank you.